Immigration and Customs Enforcement today agreed to settle a lawsuit filed in 2008 for a series of pre-dawn raids on private homes conducted without search warrants or the consent of the occupants. The complaint, filed on behalf of seven adults and one child, said in almost every raid, armed ICE agents entered homes by force or deceit, rounded up everyone from their bedrooms, and used force, threats, and intimidation in an effort to find and detain immigrants for deportation. Bahar Azmi is legal director of the Center for Constitutional Rights, which along with the Constitutional Litigation Clinic at Seton Hall University represented the plaintiffs in the case. Azmi says, though similar raids have taken place in other states, this lawsuit focused on raids that were staged in New Jersey between 2006 and 2008.
These raids were a product of a national policy initiated by the Department of Homeland Security called, believe it or not, Operation Return to Sender. And as part of that policy, Washington ordered Immigration and Customs agents to dramatically increase their quota of individuals to be removed from this country. So it created an incentive for ICE agents to conduct dragnet-style raids and pull people out of their home, whether or not they believed in good faith that these people were removable and without lawful authority.
Part of this was that they allowed the ICE agents to include people who weren't on their list of deportable aliens who they just happened to encounter.
Precisely. Yeah, this is very important. The policymakers, John Torres and Julie Myers in Washington, made two decisions that had all of these predictable consequences. First, they said each team of agents charged with removing individuals were required to increase from 125 per year to 1,000 per year of removable aliens. So that's the 800% increase. And initially, they were obligated to prioritize criminal aliens, those people who were here undocumented and had been convicted of a crime, and then secondarily so-called fugitives, that is people who have an outstanding deportation order against them but have still not left the country. But it became obvious that the agents couldn't meet their quota by focusing on just those categories of individuals. So 9 months later, the policymakers in Washington said, well, you can count towards your quota so-called collaterals, that is, individuals who are neither criminal aliens nor fugitives, who you just happen to come across that may be removable. And so now with the option of counting those towards the quotas, ICE agents went from house to house in immigrant neighborhoods with the thinnest of pretexts, forced themselves into the house, went throughout the house pulling out people from their bedclothes, children, in a SWAT-style show of force, and identifying anyone who may be removable so that they could meet their quota. And that quota policy, at least in that form, was ended in 2009 by the new administration.
These raids resulted in situations in which ICE agents pointed a gun at a 9-year-old who came running out when he heard the noise.
Yeah, the use of force and intimidation was overwhelming, as if they were infiltrating a house where they suspected drug activities or something. If they're violations or civilian violations, nevertheless, guns were used in a menacing way. And in this one case, in the case of Walter Chavez, the family of Walter Chavez, Anna Galindo, and their son, officers pointed a gun directly at the mother and the child and terrified them to no end. And the pattern in these raids is really remarkably consistent. They would show up in the middle of the night, bang loudly on the door, and when someone opened the door, they may have had a grainy picture of someone they thought could have been at that house, but nevertheless, when someone opened the door a crack, they would usually push their way in, taking all of the ICE team members with them, without having had a warrant, and obviously without consent, in the search for so-called collaterals that they could count towards their removable quota.
What was the government's argument in support of this program, or did they defend it once the lawsuit was filed?
The government defended the lawsuit without really defending the policy broadly. They defended the lawsuit by saying they have total immigration powers and the court should not second-guess decisions that the executive branch makes in the context of immigration law. And all of those arguments we largely defeated. More publicly, that is before Congress, and in response to complaints from community leaders and elected officials, Julie Myers defended the program as a necessary aspect of getting the numbers of undocumented persons down, and always, I think, did not adequately account for the really over-aggressive and lawless way in which this program was administered.
What was the settlement that was agreed to?
Under this settlement, the government agreed to pay our nine plaintiffs a total of $295,000. We believe that as a result of a number of lawsuits, this one included and ones in New York and Connecticut, and a lot of bad publicity that came from them, ICE has modulated their practices, at least with respect to home raids, and we're seeing far fewer of them in the tri-state area.
And will this have an influence on the other lawsuits that have been filed over this same issue?
One lawsuit in Connecticut, which was filed by the Yale Law School, settled on similar terms about 9 months ago. And there's another lawsuit in New York, a class action lawsuit, that is scheduled to go to trial but may also settle in the coming months.
Bahir Azmi is legal director of the Center for Constitutional Rights.